enjoy this Wild Soul Gathering production. I'm Dr. Sandra Marie. Pour yourself a really tall glass of spiritual curiosity and join me for the Happy Hour for the Spiritually Curious podcast. In the spirit of Happy Hour, cheers to some new insights, peace, revitalization, and perhaps an aha moment that may change your life. Hi, everyone. Today on the show, I have Benita Silver from Fearless Healers. Welcome to the Happy Hour for the Spiritually Curious podcast.
Thank you so much.
Benita, you're a spiritual mentor, you're an intuitive, and you're also a psychotherapist. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about that balancing act of caring for others and self-care. One of our topics. I think we're going to hit quite a few topics before we're done today. I do know that your mission is to help people reconnect with themselves, especially with all the busyness and craziness going on in the world, you know, for people in those high stress jobs. Do you help them reconnect with themselves and entertain the possibilities of realizing personal dreams? You use energy-based healing practices, but you also use practical cutting-edge science practices. What does that look like?
Well, first of all, I guess where I come from is that it's like we are living our lives. And so it makes sense to develop a relationship with ourselves because we are the person we're going to spend the entire duration of this physical existence with. It makes sense that we really get to know ourselves and love ourselves. So as a psychotherapist, you know, I've been in the field for over 40 years, and it's really about developing a trusting, comfortable relationship in which my clients can really just be themselves and express their vulnerabilities, which I regard as beautiful because I embrace a model of therapy called the Internal Family Systems, which is IFS. And so my work is to help people drop into their true essence, their soul, where there's no garbage, and to connect with the internal personality parts of themselves so that those parts can integrate into the whole of their being, into their soul, and accompany them into the future of manifesting whatever vision they have. So I use the parts work. We honor the personality that those parts provide guidance for us. Oftentimes we don't like them. And then we go there to the parts that don't like them and that they have good reasons for not liking various aspects of ourselves. And so it's a very honoring, respectful process. At the core is the recognition that all parts within us are inherently good and trying to assist us. But when they work in isolation without our soul's connection, they just keep doing the same thing over and over. They think they're helping, but they don't know about their actual impact on us. Through the connection with the true essence, they learn what they're actually doing and they want to be effective forces. So then they have this opportunity to transmute and become effective forces that they want. That's kind of the therapy aspect of it. And then what I do is, as an intuitive, I feel that it's my work to be in my higher self. So all my personality parts, my ego, my mind, figure it out, you know, whatever. I check at the door. Okay, you guys wait. So that I can be this conduit. My mission really is to serve as an inspiration and a guide for others to reclaim who they truly are at their essence. So I provide connection, what I call the horizontal attunement, heart to heart, soul to soul, and I'm coming from my higher self, and then my client can drop into their higher self, their soul, where there, again, is no garbage. There's just curiosity and that they can access these parts of themselves. Then it's like we're in a place of entrainment energetically, which creates what I call is this alchemical urn of creation It's like, we don't know what's going to come. We trust whatever arises. It could be thoughts, body sensations, emotions. It could be images, memories. It could be just a sense. And we basically trust whatever the fuck comes up, you know, because it's like, again, that's guidance. And what that is that we're in this entrainment, this connection. And that alchemical urn is like source, the vertical attunement comes in and provides us with this urn of creation where in which we are co-creating. I'm trusting my intuitive guidance. My client is entrusting their internal system, whether it's parts or spiritual guidance. And that's where the miracles and the magic abound.
That was really beautiful. You hit a lot of things there, but I'm going to start, honestly, at the very beginning when you started talking about you work with people with their relationship to themselves. I think most of us have focused most of our life and our energy on relationships with other.
We are.
The idea that we even have a relationship to ourselves can really sound very foreign to many people. Now it's more in the forefront, but I think that that's a pretty foreign concept.
Yeah, I mean, we are so outwardly directed, and that's part of what our purpose is in some respect of being incarnated as these human beings, you know, that our souls like are like, okay, I'm up for this game. I want to experience all the human experiences of thoughts, emotions, and actions, and that we enact all of that from the human perspective, and we get caught up in that, and then we forget that there's this internal guidance, there's this voice that is providing us not, it's witnessing our engagement in everyday life, our interactions with others. And it's also like providing us with guidance, the intuitions that are saying, oh, no, I don't want to go there. And that the resistance or the guidance can come across as what I call our clangs. You know, it's like tension or like, ooh, you know.
I like that.
And it's like the body is like saying, uh-uh, that's not resonant. Whereas when we're in alignment with source, with our higher self, we can feel the relaxation. We can feel the sense of exhilaration and expansion, the lightness of our being. And it's like we're able to breathe freely, which for me is like, it's like we're able to inspire and that we're drawing in. And every time I write the word inspiration, it always comes across as I start typing just automatically, inspiration.
Oh, goodness, that's awesome.
Yeah. And so then we're in union, personality and soul, and we're able to navigate whatever arises from outside. And so we become aware of self, our little self, the personality, the clangs, the needs, the desires, the wishes, the expectations, the anxiety, the pushing, the gotta go, gotta do.
Right.
And then we're also aware of that internal intuitive sense, the soul. And we're also aware of that which is around us in the world, others. And so we can just hold it all, just be aware of it all. And it's like a soup or a stew. It's like all these ingredients are coming in. And where do we choose to go with all that information?
I love it. You know, I love the analogy because you cook it long and slow to get the best product. So it really is a process. So I'm going to go backwards a little bit. You describe yourself as a spiritual mentor. What does a spiritual mentor look like? And I'm going to make this a two-part question because I feel like it goes together. Have you always interjected the spirituality, the energetics the magnetics into your work, or was that something that came along as you were growing consciously?
Oh, wow. That's a great, both are great questions. And the first I'll answer is the spiritual. It's like I've always had a trust of guidance from source, and that early on in my career, I would be sitting with my clients, and let's say if an animal, a bird appeared or something, or that they had a dream involving an animal, I would always like, okay, let's see, what is this presentation of this animal at this moment? Then I would get the spiritual significance of that animal, and I would be just trying that out with my clients. More often than not, it always resonated. For them, it was like, wow, that was, they would like, whoa, that's big. I would read tarot for my clients.
Wow.
And if my supervisor knew what I was doing, my boss in community mental health, I was like, I would probably have.
I can imagine how that would go. I'm a little bit from that industry, so kudos to you. That was brave. That was brave of
you.
And so did you have a moment where you would say you came out of the spiritual closet with it? But it sounds to me like this was always sort of consciously ingrained for you.
Yeah, it just was, because, you know, it's kind of like I've always, for my personal process, I would experience synchronicities. The beauty of synchronicities is that they always speak the truth, and that there are four aspects of synchronicities. They come from out of nowhere, that they speak in symbols or metaphors, and that they're always accompanied by this great emotional like experience of like, oh my God, this is huge. And they always speak of transformation that's coming. With the synchronicities that I was receiving, I'm like, oh, this is guidance from the universe. I'm gonna pay attention. Then I recognize that the universe in its benevolence is constantly engendering within us growth. And it always felt like I could feel like this like foot like pushing on my butt, just kind of like go on, just nudging me forward. And so I just started trusting whatever guidance would come. And then exploring like the body and illness and injury, and just always having a curious nature, what might the meaning of that be? It was kind of like from the physical experience or the human experience, I would always kind of like kick it up to the spiritual, like, oh, what might that mean from the spiritual perspective? Is this guidance? If there was a real resonance in my body about, whoa, this is truth, then there's like a knowing, a locking in of that truth that could propel me forward. And I was, you know, exploring with my clients the same thing, whether it was animals or the meaning of, you know, illness or the tarot, that kind of thing. And I just kept getting, whoa, yeah, this really clicks. In terms of the more intuitive, I went to see a psychic several years ago for my own reading, and I sat with him for 3 hours, and the information he was providing me with was like, I just started crying, sobbing because of the knowing of the truth of what he was expressing. And then I asked him, why are you spending so much time with me? And he's like, well, they told me to work with you and to that I should study with him. So I embarked in a course of study with him for several years. And basically he said that they knew I had the gift and that I just needed to hone it more. And then I started giving different kind of intuitive readings. Yet I would always check in with the individual about, does this fit for you? Does this make sense? People would say, it's right on. Over and over, it's right on. It was like, that was the phrase, you're right on, it's right on, it's right on. And so that gave me more and more confidence to really integrate that intuitive sense in my sessions with my clients. And I've been, as you could probably tell, pretty out of the box in terms of, you know, I'm not going to allow the constraints. I'm not going to allow others to dictate what is effective, an effective, beneficial relationship, and what's effective treatment, what is effective healing. It's about, this is a personal decision between me and my client about whatever works for them. So that is like the higher order that has always propelled me to really just sit and witness the awe, witness with awe the evolution of their consciousness. So, oh, it's beautiful.
That is an amazing gift. I love the way that you describe synchronicities. I think folks have them all the time. They either are conscious or unconscious, and sometimes we get them, sometimes we're not actually getting it in the moment. I find for me, most synchronicities are a retrospective aha. And I love that the synchronicity of you meeting up with that particular psychic that led you to integrate a whole different modality into the career. And what a gift, what a gift for the people in your life and the people that you work with. You brought up earlier, you used the word vulnerability. I did want to ask you, I was reading your blogs on your website, and you have a blog where you became pretty vulnerable in it. And it talked about impatience and intolerance.
Mm-hmm.
So I was hoping that you could share a little bit about that, because I feel like it's a common thing we all enter into at one point or another.
Yeah, well, with impatience and intolerance, it was like, you know, I've been on this journey of spiritual growth, and I don't really have a choice. I feel, because my soul, that's my soul's goal, according to what's called the Michael system of the soul, which is a channeled system that speaks about our soul role, soul goal, etc. And my goal is growth and evolution. And so I'm constantly learning and growing and evolving. With the impatience and intolerance, it was like there was a part of me that was like, you got to get rid of that because that's no good for you. And so then the part that's like, you got to get rid of it, well, it's basically trying to destroy a reality of an energy within me. And it's disregarding the inherent goodness of the impatience and the intolerance that are trying to help me. Typically, you know, I equate it as like with a child, you know, it's kind of like if you ignore the child, if you put down the child, if you try to shut down the child, shut up the child, you know, the child may acquiesce for a period of time and then will tantrum. Because the child just wants to be him or herself and be acknowledged for who he or she is. And thus, you know, gains that attention through the tantruming. It's the same way with our internal parts. And so I realized how much I was trying to get rid of those parts, the impatience and the intolerance. And then I was like, what would happen if I just accepted them as a part within me? And then I could feel like the calming of my entire system. It was like, and then I realized that there was impatience and intolerance that I was feeling toward my impatience and intolerance, which is kind of, you know.
I love it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's a shift of the mindset. That's the irony of it, right?
Yeah. And you know, getting back to the whole thing about relationship with self, it's kind of like in the outward direction. I mean, we look out to space and we're, you know, all the theories and all the science about, you know, quantum science. And we look at the bottom of the ocean and, you know, these are like unexplored frontiers, you know, or they're explored to some extent, but there's always more and more to learn. And I feel like so there's that outward direction, that need for growth and learning, and that we have at any opportunity this chance any moment of the day to engage with ourselves. And that is another frontier, a mystery, an adventure that we can embark on and learn more. And that can then propel us in our growth and understanding of ourselves as well as others.
That makes sense. I do think that there's a lot more revelations on what we're going to be discovering in the very near future, but that would be a whole different show and another conversation, right, Benita?
Yeah.
I'm going to bring up, just because I think it's a big topic across the board, one more blog issue, and then I'll let go of the blogs. But the other one that you put out there, and I thought, oh my God, it will resonate with so many different people. And it was titled, When You Want to Say No After Saying Yes. Many of us also with the impatience have dealt with it. But I do think that it's a significant issue out there that people struggle with. Some thoughts on that one that you can help folks out with a little bit.
Yeah, it's kind of like two things. One is that when we say yes, that may be our truth in the moment, you know, that we want to help others, and that who we were then isn't necessarily who we are, you know, a year from now, a month from now, a day from now, or even a moment from now. It's kind of like when we're truly present with ourselves, then we can discern our yeses and our noes, and that we always, I think, it's about giving us ourselves permission to change our minds, giving ourselves permission to recognize, well, wow, that yeah was based on this part of me. Oftentimes, you know, for women, especially in our culture, that we give ourselves away, that we're investing in others and we forget about ourselves. And so when I was engaged in that kind of dynamic, I would all of a sudden, you know, I would get resentful toward them. I was the one who was saying yes. I'm like, wait a minute. Okay, there's something screwed up here I got to look at. Why am I feeling resentful? Why am I feeling depleted? Why am I feeling overwhelmed? Because I'm saying yes, 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 yes. And I'm saying no to me, you know, unconsciously. Let me come back into presence with myself. What's my truth? What's my answer? How can I mean, I feel like the biggest challenge for us oftentimes is honoring ourselves, our truth, while being in relationship with others and honoring their experience. It's not our jobs to take care of them. It's our job to take care of ourselves, but we can be empathic, connecting, understanding of where they're coming in terms of their emotions. We can hold them in their truth while honoring ourselves and bringing ourselves into authentic connection with others by sharing who we truly are and daring to become vulnerable and to be able to say no. What a gift, because that's who we really are. If I'm saying no based on I got to take care of you, then, you know, that's kind of like it's a pattern that I've, you know, lived through. It's automatic. It's not conscious. And I'm not truly presenting who I am. Plus, I'm also, to some extent, infantilizing this other person. I'm needing to take care of you because I don't trust your ability to take care of you. And it's like, wow, if I let go of that responsibility and I am able to express that, hey, I trust your ability to take care of you and I love you and I'm here for you. I could provide you with the emotional support. Then I'm taking care of me. And I'm also tending to the beauty of the relationship by presenting who I am to this individual and allowing them to be themselves and to take care of themselves.
Really looking at it from a multifaceted way, I always say service to others is 100% why we're on the earth. Service to ourselves is 100% the reason why we're on the earth, and both are equally important. It really is an equal relationship and finding that balance. Kudos to you for all you put out there and what you're putting out there now to help people get to those realizations. Benita, currently, it feels like there's a lot more people across the planet, the globe, awakening. They're starting to become a little bit more aware. I think, honestly, people are awakening consciously and unconsciously. Like, it's a little bit of both that's out there. And they're not exactly sure even what this awakening thing is, what it's all about. What are some of your thoughts as a spiritual leader, a spiritual teacher, spiritual mentor, on how we can help this population with all this energy that's just like blowing up all over the place? So for us, it's feeling like great and exciting. For some other people, it may not feel that way.
It can be very unsettling because people are starting to elevate into a higher frequency. Also, one of the things that's so important is as we're embarking into this new phase, which can be very exciting, it can also be very terrifying. Because it's like very unfamiliar. The other aspect of it is when we're stepping over the threshold into a new way of being, a new reality, then we're also leaving behind the sense of the self that we had developed, that we had constructed previously. And with it can come loss and grief. And so it's really about witnessing and holding space for all the human emotions that arise, for the fear, for the grief, the sadness, the excitement. It's like there's room to embrace it all and to honor it all and to provide an arena for people to express exactly what's going on for them. It is big because we are embarking in a whole new consciousness. I see it as like, whereas we had had a very masculine essence, kind of the shadow side of the masculine, where we've seen power, control, and dominance as a means of kind of fueling people's sense of internal power. And the reality is that power, control, and dominance over others is unsustainable because it's coming from outside, that we have this infinite and eternal source of coming into alignment and getting to know these aspects of ourselves, of being present and connected, being in relationship with our humanness, with the parts of us that feel insecure or are doubtful or fearful, that we can always be there with and for them and thus serve as a support and comfort for them. So as within is also as without, to extend that compassion, that connection, that curiosity to others in what they're undergoing.
Ah, beautifully said. Do you feel like nature can play a role in healing or finding one's place of balance?
Absolutely. I mean, sometimes when I'm going on a hike, I will just be enamored of a leaf because we can see the inherent intelligence in the design of this leaf with the system of the veins and the, you know, and recognizing the chlorophyll, and then that the leaf is attached to a branch, and the branch is attached to the trunk of the tree, and the trunk and the roots go down deep into the earth and gain nourishment. And it's like just looking at a leaf, we can see the intelligence of the design. There's also the reality that we live on this earth plane. And that when we're in touch with nature, when we're aware of our senses, you know, the smells, the wind, the softness of the earth underfoot, then we're feeling connected to our home, this earth plane, which is true. I mean, you know, a lot of people, you know, put a lot of credence in, oh, spirit is more important. I see it as an integration of it all, that yes, we're humans, We're on this physical plane. We live on the earth. She teaches us also about the cycle of life and death, and death as being part of life and life being part of death, and that through death comes the decay, but the replenishment of the soil, which allows the growth and the rebirth, and that that cycle is continuous. So there's the earthly, and that being in touch with nature, which it brings our nervous system into alignment so that we can then tap into our true essence, to our soul, and that we are these conduits, this bridge between the earthly and the heavenly, between the physical and the spiritual, and that the nature allows for the cleansing, the opening of the sushumna, the central channel where all the chakras are aligned, and it opens it up and clears and clarifies so that we can then receive the guidance also from Source. And it's this continuous, you know, you remember when we were kids and how we would, one hand would be going down and the other, you know, where you're going opposite. That's what it's like. You know, it's like, oh, the earthly is coming up and Source is coming down. And actually the congregate is right here in the heart. And with the heart, yeah, that's where it all meets. And the heart emanates out to the arms, to the hands, in which we can then take action, where we have that integration of the physical and the spiritual. We have the integration of the human and the soul, and then we can bring it out into the world in an integrated fashion.
Oh, that just, it makes me want to walk outside. I've spent most of my life living in urban areas. I'm gifted the opportunity now to live in an extremely rural area. And it's interesting, the shift. Like, I would say initially, as you were talking, I was like, oh yeah, I find myself getting distracted by the butterflies. Or like you said, a leaf will fly by. I'll just notice something with the tree. I have four seasons, so the same thing looks very different at different times and tells me a different story, when in fact I'm being distracted from my outwardly things that seem so important at the time. The butterflies in the trees aren't the distraction. They're my connection. But I do want to say for folks, and we do have a pretty global listenership to the program. So a lot of people in different environments, even living in the city. I mean, I would sit on the front porch with a tree or watch a bird in the middle of the asphalt street, dusting itself off in some dirt and just get mesmerized by the whole thing. So I believe nature is around us everywhere and an opportunity regardless of the environment. I loved how you spoke that. That was just so cool. It's a crazy world out there right now, or maybe it just feels like a crazy world out there. Some folks are either pulling themselves away and others are really just getting themselves caught up in the fear of it. Some thoughts about how we could help people really manage the craziness and step away from the fear and find some peace in the middle of chaos.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much insanity out in the world and we don't know. And there's so much disillusion and deconstruction of the systems in which we used to feel that there was clear characteristics of them, like the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. And it's like, which is which now? And there's so much of it. And so the thing is, it's like, when we're attending out there to all the chaos, there's a lot of energy and a lot of activity, and that there's a lot of confusion that we're not able to really attain by directing our attention outwardly. And so in the internal family systems, there's what's called conducting the U-turn, the Y-O-U-turn, to turn our attention back to ourselves. And the way I like to think about it is, it's about arriving at that still point within that knows, It's like there is no greater power than ourselves here in this earth. And it's about is when we're engaged in our process of growth and discovery of who we are and loving ourselves and feeling compassion for ourselves, then that energy just naturally emanates outwardly. And there's so much conflict, and that we feel from the human perspective that we have to engage in the dualistic thinking of I'm right, you're wrong, which creates division. When in reality, I mean, I think about like COVID and the maskers and the anti-maskers and the vaxxers and the anti-vaxxers. Whenever I've worked with any internal polarities, they create all this conflict, and then you don't know what you're doing, and there's all this confusion and all what appears like, you know, and one against the other. And the reality about the polarizations is that they always share either the same fear or the same goal. And so we can cut through all that smokescreen of the conflict and I'm right and you're wrong and the division. And then it's like, oh, if we think about like the anti-vaxxers and the vaxxers regarding COVID, everybody was afraid. Oh, I'm going to get sick. I don't want to get sick. I could die from this. So both the vaxxers and the anti-vaxxers were trying to promote health. I want to be healthy. I want to be safe. And so let's acknowledge the fear that this pandemic kicked up in us. Can we then just, you know, I remember I was with a therapist group and people were coming from a place of fear about COVID. And we were meeting outside and 6 feet separated. And I had stated that I chose not to get the vaccine. I was given guidance, actually. I was given guidance not to take the vaccine. And what I saw that COVID was about coming back into the self, and that we have choice, and that through that choice, we can then have power and bring ourselves into the world. And it's about what is right for each individual. And can we honor each individual's choice, right to choose what's right for them? And so then that brings about connection, curiosity about why somebody might choose something, and an honoring and acceptance of our fellow man that may not agree with what our perspective is, which is totally cool. That's, I mean, life would be pretty boring if we all thought the same and agreed to the same conditions or whatever, or expectations.
Nice. I agree. We're all one humanity. The more we can focus on what we agree on and have discussion about the other makes a difference. For me, I try to focus on, regardless what situation I may find myself in that feels like it's polarizing, I try to recognize that we're all one energy. We're all one people. As you said, honor what people making that decision to do what's right for them. Thing I would say for people is to be more an observer and not get caught up in it. I do believe that sometimes we feel like we're powerless. We're never powerless. We always have the power to put light and love out there, and it does elevate and it changes the vibration, and it makes a difference with that.
Yeah. And actually, two things are coming up as you're speaking, that the mind, which is part of our human condition, likes to think in the dualities of right and wrong, black and white, and all that. Because, you know, from its perspective, it's very analytical, it's very linear, it is trying to provide us with what I regard as workable little packages. This is good and that is bad. Let's eliminate the bad and let's just stick with the good. But the reality is, as soon as the mind says that is bad, and that, whatever that is, that truly exists in our life, then we're incurring our own suffering. Inadvertently, you know, the mind is like, that's bad, get rid of it. But you can't necessarily get rid of it because it's a situation that you're dealing with. kind of like developing a relationship with the mind, that there is something beyond its comprehension, because it cannot comprehend the infinite and the eternal because it's finite in its nature. And it's trying to provide us with safety and guidance and direction and clarity, but it can't see the bigger picture.
Nice.
Right. And the mind catches on. It's like, wait a minute, something is working for her. You know, I see that she's calm. I see that she's feeling confident. I see that she's feeling really clear. Then the mind, because the brain is neuroplastic, it learns and it expands and it grows. And then it can accompany us as we're traversing into unknown territory of the future. Because it's so curious, the mind is so curious, it's like, okay, well, let's just see what happens. And oftentimes it'll say, well, I don't totally get it, but I see that something is working.
I love it. And then I move into my spiritual space of moving out of my mind and take a deep breath, and I move in my heart. And the more I can live from my heart, the more all of that becomes unimportant to me. And it really does bring me some peace. And it goes back to what we started with, finding that balance. Benita, if someone wanted to work with you, how would they get a hold of you and what would that look like?
Oh, that's a great question, because right now I'm in revision. You know, I realized I had a 26 video curriculum. I realized that I've outgrown it and that the people that I'm working with have outgrown it. My ideal client really is what I call our high energy helpers and healers. And what I mean by high energy is that they have a sense of their vision in terms of their soul's mission to help others. They recognize that they are the source of transformation within themselves, as well as healing within themselves, and that they can serve as sources of love, inspiration, and guidance for others. They recognize that by working with themselves, they can then assist their clients, their patients, in really embracing themselves, their love of self. And that's the most powerful source. Right now, I'm just really doing individual sessions with folks. And again, it's about we entrain with one another. We trust what arises in session, and that it's more than a cognitive kind of thing. It's really an embodiment of the energy, because as people are getting awarenesses, gaining awarenesses about themselves, there's a cognitive shift. There's an emotional shift. We have a physical, the body feels it. The emotions feel it. The mental feels it. And the spiritual. And these are all sheaths, different layers of who we are. And so then it's about drawing that in, feeling that, drawing it into all the cells, into the heart, into the mind, into spirit, energetically. I kind of compare it to a three-dimensional wooden puzzle. I don't know if you've ever seen those, but it's kind of like all the pieces and all the kosas, the layers of us. Just lock in. It's an embodied experience. And through that embodiment, there's an elevation in the frequency of who and what we are. And then we take that shift that we're undergoing, which is a new being that we're becoming, into our next step.
So do you have a website that they would go to?
Yes, I do. It is fearlesshealers.com.
I love that, Fearless Healers. I can't tell you, like, it just speaks to me on a vibrational level.
When we're coming from our soul, there is no fear. In the spiritual realm, there's no good, bad, right, wrong, masculine, feminine, no fear. Everything is just kind of, we're in the flow, we're in the presence. And that there's trust. And so it's really about, again, checking in with those scary parts, the doubtful parts, the unclear parts, and that they can join us as we progress into our future.
Awesome. I'll make sure that I have all of your contact information, your website, and any links for you up on our website, wildsoulgatherings.com, so people can reference that back to get a hold of you and the work that you're doing. So as we're winding up, any last thoughts you want to throw out there for the listeners today?
Well, I just want folks to know I do offer a complimentary consultation call. So if people are feeling like a resonance with my energy and that they're interested in really kind of expanding beyond who they are currently, yeah, that we can get on a call. And other than that, you know, I feel like that we all do have access to this knowing of who we truly are. But it's not always an easy process to really be anchored in the trust. It is a process. And I mean, I've undergone it all my life. It's taken me, you know, over 40 years to get to this place where it's like an integration. It is available. And life is a journey also. The beauty of our human existence is, and some people think it may be a curse, is that we have our whole lifetime and this very moment to really step into as an opportunity to engage with ourselves and to get to know ourselves, to love ourselves. And once we step over into that present moment, we're stepping into the infinity and the eternity. That linear timeline from the mind doesn't apply. And it's like, oh, okay, here it is. Here I am. And it's just a process of discovery. And that I'll serve as a companion to assist in that place of not knowing.
Yeah, that's the value of being around for a little bit longer. You recognize the value of it. I already think of all the different iterations of Dr. Sandra Marie, and I embrace and am really excited about what these future iterations are going to look like, because I honestly don't know, because I feel like I'm growing, evolving all the time, and it's a beautiful thing. It's exciting.
It is.
Benita, I want to thank you. You have shared a lot of wisdom out there. I honestly think for the listeners, this is a listen to more than one time show, because you have talked about so many different concepts and you talked about them with such wisdom. I think it's going to make a huge difference in so many people's lives. I appreciate you. I appreciate all the work that you're doing. Thank you for being on the show. And for all our listeners out there, I do want to thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your day to listen to Benita and myself. And remember, you're going to like this one, Benita. Embrace that wild soul, because I know you embrace yours all the time.
Oh, yeah. And thank you so much, Sandra, because I really appreciate the beautiful work that you're doing and bringing.
Thank you.
Yeah, these ideas, these energies out in the world.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Wild Soul Gatherings Happy Hour for the Spiritually Curious. To learn more about our guests, please go to our website, wildsoulsgathering.com. We're very eager to hear from our listeners what you thought of the episode, topics you might like us to cover in the future, your thoughts on spirituality, questions you may have. Please feel free to send us an email at wildsoulsgathering@gmail.com. This is your host, Dr. Sandra Marie, sending each of you peace and love. Until we meet again, embrace your wild soul.